Hello. This story is the only remaining record of our existence and the events which led us into obscurity. Everything else has been scrubbed from time. Makeshift Stories 127. Calculation error.
Serene looked around the crowded office. Printouts spilled off tables onto the floor. Scraps of paper filled with hastily scribbled calculations were taped to every available space on the walls. Tim fell into a well-worn chair and picked up a slide rule.
A slide rule? Serene noted aloud.
Have you been checking all the calculations manually?
Tim nodded.
Yes, and they don't agree. I've gone through them dozens of times, running the program downstairs, then manually checking the results. It's the same each time. The computer is saying we need half the amount of fuel.
There would only be enough to get to the asteroid belt. That'd free up a lot of physical space, but what's the point? We wouldn't be able to get back and certainly couldn't haul any metals.
Serene quickly checked around the office again, spotting charts of various orbital solutions. She asked the obvious question.
You're a junior analyst and you're checking the mission fuel requirements and flight plan?
Tim looked uncomfortable. He squirmed a bit before answering.
I know I'm only a junior, but I intuitively knew there was a problem as soon as I saw the fuel tank specifications. No one else here is willing to question the computer. How could it be wrong, they say. After all, the program is written by a coder in the CEO's office. That's what they've been telling me. It's just a mistake in my work, but I can't find one. I've done the calculations 100 times, and the numbers always come out the same. No one was going to bring it to your attention.
That's why I had to take a chance and walk over to the administration block to get you. It's not like the ship will be able to stop off someplace to pick up fuel. I know we're using hydrogen and oxygen as propellant, but even if, say, Ceres or Vesta or some other asteroid has water ice, there'd have to be some infrastructure sent there first to mine it. There's nothing like that in the mission plan, right? I wanted you to confirm that.
Serene watched with interest as the young man talked. There was something familiar about him. Something from somewhere or sometime. But she couldn't put her finger on it. She put the thought to the back of her mind.
Not that I know of, Serene smiled, hoping she had guessed right.
She'd need to set some time aside to sort through her host's memories to get up to speed.
Let's look at the figures. Maybe I can see why you and the computer don't agree. Can I use your calculator?
Tim offered Serene his slide rule. She knew the crude calculating device would work, but it seemed out of place, more accurately, out of sequence in the development of this world.
Let's take a look at the computer printout first, Serene suggested. July 2007,
Janva exclaimed, felt dizzy, and had to sit down. The rough target had been 65 years. She had followed the same thread as Amos, and there had only been a split-second delay. They should have ended up only a few days, or at most, a week apart. The signals the Triffle had intercepted from the third planet had given the year in their calendar as 2015. She had only traveled back in time 8 years. She stared at the large dial phone on her desk. When had Amos arrived? She wondered. And what had he done to the timeline? Janva noticed the nameplate on the desk, turned it around, and read it. Zara Patel, CEO and president. Her host had power and influence. It was the reason she had chosen this person. But the year? Janva sank back into her plush chair to think. There had been the tenuous presence of another in the thread. Had that presence interfered, sending her to the wrong point in time? So Amos would have years to accomplish his goal? She didn't know. A brown box with several toggle switches on its front began to buzz. Janva poked at the switches until it stopped. Then a scratchy voice came through a speaker embedded into the top.
DZ President has still not responded to our request for him to be present at the meeting. What would you like us to do?
Janva didn't know how to respond. She needed time to understand who she was and what was happening. An idea formed in her mind.
I'm not feeling well,
she complained to the speaking box.
I'm feeling dizzy.
Janva pretended to faint, then fell out of her chair.
Miss Patel, are you okay?
The voice anxiously inquired. Then Janva heard the office door fly open and her assistant rush in. Janva feigned unconsciousness, then she began to move, muttering,
What happened? Where am I? You fainted, ma'am. Did you eat anything today?
Janva shook her head slowly.
I'll order something for you. Your blood sugar is probably too low. You really need to take better care of yourself.
What were we doing again?
Trying to set up our meeting with DZ. Their CEO doesn't appear to want to talk to you directly, but I think it's just a tactic to make you feel less important than him. Are you sure you're all right?
Janva slowly picked herself up off the floor and sat down on the couch.
What can you tell me about him? I'm drawing a blank right now.
It was true. Janva was having trouble connecting with her host's memories. The transmutation had not been perfect. Was that another sign of outside interference, she wondered.
I better call someone,
Maya insisted.
Please, just humor me. In your own words, tell me about him.
Maya clicked a button on the speaker box.
Can you get dinner in here for Miss Patel ASAP?
She snapped, then sat down on a chair opposite Janva.
Daniel Johnson, brilliant aerospace engineer, now a self-described megalomaniac more powerful than any national government. He finessed, and when that didn't work, bullied his way to dominance and changed so much of the world in the process. I sometimes wonder what things would have been like if he had never existed.
What would have been different?
Janva encouraged. Dinner finally arrived, and Janva managed to keep Maya talking. It turned out that this version of the third planet was very different than the one that Triffle had researched, and the changes appeared to have been centered around Daniel Johnson. They are correct, Serene finally announced. She had felt a tickle at the back of her mind for a moment, but pushed it away to concentrate on the problem at hand.
This is either a mistake or there's something that is not being said, Tim.
Tim smiled. Thanks for taking me seriously. I knew I was right. But they are finalizing the designs for the ship this week, and no one around here is willing to make waves. Can you help me get to head office? They need to know.
I don't know.
It will be here in 2 days, Tim added. What will be here? There's a big meeting, and the rumor is they're flying the competitive advantage back here for it. All the head office senior staff will be here. Didn't you know?
Oh, right. I just forgot.
How could you forget? You just saw the competitive advantage in the parking lot before it left. It will be back for the meeting.
We need to make a clean copy of your calculations. Can you do that?
She asked. Tim enthusiastically began to work. As Serene watched him, she was again overwhelmed by the sense that she had encountered Tim before in a different version of this world.
You have been listening to Ceres, a Makeshift Stories production. Ceres is released once a month between the 1st and the 7th. The story is written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing music was composed and recorded by David H. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by writing a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, or any of your favorite podcast services. Ceres and Makeshift Stories are released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivative License, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.
Thanks for listening, and remember to come back between the 15th and the 20th for another story in our series, Somewhere, Sometime.